Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Radha Gopinatha Radhe Jayo Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupada. Jayo Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupada. नाम संकीर्तन की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य स्तोत्र शतशीषमत भे चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी स्वल्पोपाद महाराज की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य स्तोत्र शतशीषमत भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज स्वल्पोपाद की जय। श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड गोस्वामी प्रभुगण की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मई की जय। यमुना मई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरी टू दिस डिवोटीज। All glories to the Ismail devotees. All glories to the Ismail devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हे कृष्णा रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा इज द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल इनकार्नेशंस एंड वर्स 2 यसाम्बसी शयानस्य योग निद्रां वितन्वतः नाभिर्दाम्बुजादास्य ब्रह्मा विश्वसृजं पतिः यस्याम्बसि शयानस्य योग निद्रां वितन्वतः नाभिर्दाम्बुजादास्य ब्रह्मा विश्वसृजां पतिः
यस्याम् वसिशयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् ब्रह्मा विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यस्याम्बसि शयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् पत्ना विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यस्याम्बसि शयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् ब्रह्मा विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यसाम्बसि शयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् ब्रह्मा विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यस्याम्बसि शयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् ब्रह्मा विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यस्याम्बसि शयानस्य योगनिद्रावितन्वतः नाभिरदाम्बुजादासीत् ब्रह्मा विश्वसुजाम्पतिः। यस्य हूज अम्बसि इन द वाटर श्यानस्य लाइंग डाउन योग निद्राम स्लीपिंग इन मेडिटेशन वितन्वतः मिनिस्टरिंग नाभि नेवल रिद आउट ऑफ द लेक अम्बुजात फ्रॉम द लोटस आसित वॉज मैनिफेस्टेड ब्रह्मा द ग्रैंड फादर ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग्स Vishwa, the universe. Srijam, the engineers. Patiha, master. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A part of the Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts the lotus stem. And from the lotus flower atop this stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. Purport. The first Purusha is the Karnodakshayi Vishnu. From his skin holes, innumerable universes have sprung up. In each and every universe, the Purusha enters as the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. He is lying within the half of the universe, which is full with the water of his body. And from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, has sprung the stem of the lotus flower, the birthplace of Brahma, who is the father of all living beings and the master of all the demigod engineers engaged in the perfect design and working of the universal order. Within the stem of the lotus, there are 14 divisions of planetary systems, and the earthly planets are situated in the middle. Upwards there are other better planetary systems, and the topmost system is called Brahmalok or Satyalok. Downwards from the earthly planetary system, there are 7 lower planetary systems inhabited by the Asuras and similar other materialistic living beings. From Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, there is an expansion of the Shirodakshayi Vishnu, who is the collective Paramatma of all living beings. He is called Hari. And from him, all incarnations within the universe are expanded. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Purusha Avatar is manifested in 3 features. First, the Karnodakshayi, who creates aggregate material ingredients in the Mahatattva. Second, the Garbhodakshai, who enters in each and every universe. And third, the Shirodakshai Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of every material object, organic or inorganic. One who knows these plenary features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead knows Godhead properly, and thus the knower becomes freed from the material conditions of birth, death, old age and disease, as it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In this shloka, the subject matter of Mahavishnu is summarized. The Mahavishnu lies down in some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will. Thus he lies on the ocean of Karan, from where he glances over his material nature, and the Mahatattva is at once created. Thus, electrified by the power of the Lord, the material nature at once creates innumerable universes, just as in due course a tree decorates itself with innumerable grown fruits. The seed of the tree is sown by the cultivator, and the tree or creeper in due course becomes manifested with so many fruits. Nothing can take place without a cause. The Karan ocean is therefore called the causal ocean. Karana means causal. We should not foolishly accept the atheistic theory of creation. The description of the atheist is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The atheist does not believe in the creator, but he cannot give a good theory to explain the creation. Material nature has no power to create without the power of the Purusha, just as a Prakriti or woman cannot produce a child without the connection of a Purusha or man. The Purush impregnates and the Prakriti delivers. We should not expect milk from the fleshy bags on the neck of a goat, although they look like breastly nipples. Similarly, we should not expect any creative power from the material ingredients. We must believe in the power of the Purusha, who impregnates Prakriti or nature. Because the Lord wished to lie down in meditation, the material energy created innumerable universes at once. In each of them, the Lord lay down, and thus all the planets and the different paraphernalia were created at once by the will of the Lord. The Lord has unlimited potencies, and thus he can act as he likes by perfect planning, although personally he has nothing to do. No one is greater than or equal to him. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishibhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Yasambasi Shayanasya, Yoga Nidram Vitanvataha, Nabi Dambujada Sit Brahma Vishvasajam Patiha. A part of the Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem. And from the lotus flower atop this stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from this chapter 3. Interesting verse. And it's interesting purport also by Srila Prabhupada. So just remember the prayers of Shukdev Goswami before he begins his narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's asking the blessings from none other than Karnadakshay Vishnu. And he says, Bhuter Mahadvirya Imapuro Vipur Nirame Shete Yad Amushu Purushaha Bhunte Gunana Shodash Shodashmakaha So Alang Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Just to paraphrase from what Prabhupada and Vishwanathacharya Thakur pray, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here referred to Karnadakshay Vishnu, ornament my words and invoke Madhurya, Karunya and other rasas to bring joy to the listeners. Just as the Lord, after creating bodies for humans and others by the Mahatattva and other elements, personally resides in those bodies and makes them successful. So seeking the blessings of the devotees for the pleasure of the Lord, so I may be able to speak appropriately on this verse. And especially so, because I had prepared some notes and I do not know where it's saved now. I searched in the autosave, I saved in the unsaved. And I don't remember if I saved it under some name. In any case, whatever Krishna and the devotees inspire. So very interesting that, how Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur analyzes this word, Shodash Kalam. He says Kalam, Kala is basically 1/16th part. And Shodash is 16th. So Shodash Kalam means the whole. And this is specifically used in reference to the moon. So he is comparing Karnadakshay Vishnu to the full moon here. And as Prem Kishore Prabhu yesterday said, that he is non-different from Sri Ranganath. And here we have the description of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Though Prabhupada interestingly says that it's the summary of Mahavishnu. So, interesting thing to really ponder over. And we'll try to understand what he is trying to say. So first, seeking the blessings of Ramanujacharya, it's also his appearance day according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar, though according to the Sri Vaishnava calendar, it will be tomorrow. It's interesting because even in the Brahma Samhita, it is first Anandadev that is glorified before Mahavishnu is glorified. So it's appropriate that we glorify Ramanujacharya before we glorify Mahavishnu, and Garbhadakshay Vishnu have been mentioned in these verses. So in the Yadvachal Mahatmyam, it is said, Ananta Prathamam Rupam Lakshmanascha Tatah Paraha Balbhadram Titya Astu Kalau Kaschit Bhavishyati. Meaning it is the same who was as Adishesh first, Lakshmana after, and Balram in the third, is known as Sri Ramanuj in the Kali Yuga. This Kaschit is taken by the Purvacharyas as referring to Ramanujacharya. So, we know that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two aspects from all the sampradayas. But it's not exactly so. In one sense, it is Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu who instructs the acharyas what they should preach. And then he pretends that he's taking the two from them. So when Sri Ramanujacharya visits Jagannath Puri and has darshan of Lord Jagannath, after he has darshan of Lord Jagannath, in his dream, Lord Jagannath appears and instructs him that he should go to nearby Navdeep. That now that he has come to Jagannath Puri, he should go and have darshan of Navdeep, and there he should have darshan of Lord Gauranga. And Ramanujacharya is taken aback. He says, I have never heard of this before. I have never read it in any of the Shrutis or the Smritis. What is this Navdeep and what is Lord Gauranga? Please, who is this Lord Gauranga? I really want to know. And then Jagannath actually tries to explain him and gives some references from the different Pramanas. It says how Lord Gauranga is non-different from Radha and Krishna combined. And Navdweep is non-different from Vrindavan. Hearing this from the Lord of from the mouth of Lord Jagannath, Ramanujacharya is inspired. And Lord Jagannath actually transports him to Navdweep Dham. And in the meantime, he instructs that you should go and visit and have darshan of Lord Gauranga there and meet your disciples in Kurukshetra. So, it's quite likely because, you know, it seems that Ramanujacharya was thrown to Kurukshetra when he tries to, you know, make some rectifications in the Archana Paddhiti or worshipping style of the devotees there. So it so happens, and this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur has reconciled with Navdweep Mahatma. What happens is Ramanujacharya is actually visiting Navdweep Dham at that time. And there when he has darshan of Lord Gauranga, he goes into ecstasy. And he says, I'll preach about you. So Lord Gauranga says, relax. This is not the time, you know. So after I have advented, then my glories will be spread. Please do not tell about my glories now. Keep it confidential in our heart. And I have showed you this form of mine so that you can worship this form in your heart. And specifically, promulgate the Dasyaras. That is what you're supposed to do. And in this way, when he is instructed by Sri Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he promulgates the Dasya Bhakti, and he does so in so many ways. Of course, I had prepared for it, but I don't want to speak about it. Many things more that we can speak. But Ramanujacharya is still not satisfied. He says, that's fine. But you want to say that I'll miss your pastimes? No. I cannot do that. You know, I really want to be part of your pastimes. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu actually reassures him. He says, don't worry. And then Ramanujacharya takes birth in Mahaprabhu's Leela. Anyone knows as who? Yeah. As Ananta Vipra. Yeah. So this Sri Ananta Vipra actually is a Brahman who resides close to the house of Sanatana Mishra, whose daughter is Lakshmi Priya Devi, to whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marries. So when the marriage takes place at the house of Sanatana Mishra, this Ananta Vipra comes to have darshan of the Lord. And that the Lord is, you know, bedecked in all opulence because that's marriage. And so seeing the Lord bedecked in all opulence with all jewels and silken cloths and Lakshmi Priya or, you know, decorated equally, he has the vision of Lord Gauranga as Lakshmi Narayan. And then he swoons in ecstasy. And there his hair starts standing on end and he starts dancing like a madman. You know, because that's the Ishtadeva of Lakshmi Narayan. And then he sees that, you know, oh, I've been surrounded by so many devotees. This is probably not the right time to do this. And he subdues his emotions. But then he goes home and starts worshipping Lord Lakshmi Priya and Gauranga Mahaprabhu as being non-different from Lakshmi Narayan. In this way, Ramanujacharya is completely satisfying being part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And Mahaprabhu accepts his service by taking these two principles from the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya. Of course, later on the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya also presents a challenge to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually takes shelter of the Madhva Sampradaya. But to distinguish himself from the Tattvavadis, whose philosophy he does not accept. Actually, if you study the Gaudiya philosophy, it's more closer to the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya compared to the Madhva Sampradaya. But still, he takes initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya. And to differentiate themselves from the Tattvavadis, whose philosophy is not accepted by the Gaudiyas, the Sampradaya is called the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Also because, interestingly, Prabhupada writes in the purport that because Madhvacharya is also known as what? Anyone knows? It comes from the word Gaura, that's why I'm saying. Gaudapada. Yeah, exactly. He's known as Gaudapada. So that's why he takes this name Gaudiya. So it actually refers to Gaudiya in both ways. You know. And so he's known as Gauda Purnananda or Gaudapada also. Gauda Purnananda also. So that is how the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So the Ramanandis, as Ramanandis, you know, now Ramanacharya Sampradaya in the northern is supposed to be connected to Ramanandi Sampradaya. Some accept it, some do not. But the Ramanandis do. They have two divisions in that. And one definitely does accept them as coming from the Ramana Sampradaya of the South India. So they actually propose a challenge later on in the court of Jai Singh. So it is interesting if you study the philosophy of Ramanacharya, Madhvacharya, of Vishnu Swami and of the Kumara Sampradayas, very subtle differences. And it makes it all the more interesting, you know, when you read the commentaries of Jiva Goswami Pad, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and then the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is amazing. The way he's so scholastic, and at the same time, the way he, you know, is able to outreach to the most materialist is something really amazing. And and you know, Prabhupada at one point he says, and not because the topic is that, and it's quite relevant. Prabhupada makes a very interesting comment in this connection, and I'll just take the liberty to take that and try to understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport. And and then we'll actually try to understand the details of what he's saying. And Prabhupada actually says in, I think it's in one of the chapters, probably the 7th chapter, the 53rd verse purport. And he says, topics like the Ras Leela and of course even the Govardhan Leela, that's he's including both. Topic like the Ras Leela and the Govardhan Leela are meant for the liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls therefore must hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy. And hearing such pastimes is as good as hearing the Ras Leela in the liberated stage. And of course, he says this in connection with the Purushavtar, and he says, you know, some serious devotees think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting Govardhan Leela. And they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions, such as the Purushavtars, and their pastimes of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the Lord's Ras Leela pastimes and his pastimes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. And in fact, from the very verse that I quoted initially, and the purport Prabhupada makes it even more specific. And that's really interesting. And he says, Shukdev Goswami wants to present the truths of creation not as a metaphysical theory of philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject, since he would be dictated to by the Lord exactly in the same manner as Brahmaji was inspired. Very powerful. He's saying, not as a metaphysical theory of philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject. Now look, it's really interesting, you know, because here what is happening is that if you see the flow from the 2nd chapter, we have Shukdev Goswami defining the process or glorifying the process of bhakti till about the verse 22. And then from verse 22 till I think about verse 29, which actually, you know, ends with glorifying Lord Vasudev as the source of everything. You know, especially the verses that end with Vasudev Paraveda, Vasudev Paramaka. So what he's doing is glorifying bhakti and then glorifying Bhagavan. So it's first glorification of bhakti, that's his energy, and then the glorification of the Bhagavat Tattva. Now, before this, Sut Goswami has already, you know, defined how this Brahma Tattva can be understood in Tattva, Tattva Vidas. So it is Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shabdate. So now, after establishing Vasudev as the Supreme Lord, he is explaining how Vasudev is also the cause of the Paramatma Tattva. So in the next verses, that is 30, 31, 32, 33, he is glorifying the Paramatma Tattva in general. Right? And then he starts with the list or the inspiration of Leela Avatars. Then again he comes back to the Paramatma Tattva. So it's not actually that things are being repeated. There is repetition to actually reinforce the fact that how Vasudev is the origin of everything, even of the Paramatma Tattva. But here the classification is more specific. Okay? So the first classification is general, that how the Lord permeates as Paramatma. But here it is very specific how he permeates as Paramatma in three different forms. That is Karanadakshay Vishnu as the Paramatma of the whole universal creation. Garbhadakshay Vishnu as the Paramatma of the collected jivas in a specific universe. And Shiradakshay Vishnu as the Paramatma of each living entity and also occupying matter and all space between matter. Very interesting. So that's what the Nirvisheshwadi say. It's Brahma all over. They're not wrong entirely, right? Because as Paramatma manifested in matter, Paramatma as accompanying the living entity and as Paramatma in between the space that occupies matter. I mean, it's Paramatma all over. Not very difficult to understand, you know. Of course, the Vaishnavacharyas use analogy more like a rubber band, you know. A rubber band helps you to grasp a thing. You know, it binds, it helps you to grasp the subject. Similarly, the analogies are used to grasp a particular subject. So analogies by the Vaishnavacharyas are more used as utility. So you can't stretch this too much, otherwise, you know, you just lose it. As you stretch a rubber band, it will just break off. The materialists don't actually understand this aspect of using analogies to material analogies to understand spiritual subjects. Because they think that matter and spirit are totally different. How can you actually understand spirit with the help of matter? So they don't accept analogies. And the other schools actually try to use analogy very specifically in one-to-one comparison. And therefore they lose it. The Vaishnavacharyas use analogies just at the purpose of utility to make the point. So if you, now for the scientists, you know, it's very difficult to understand that how matter and spirit, if they're different, can they interact? Because they're not same substances. So if they're different substances, how can matter and spirit interact? The answer is here. You know, just like hardware and software of a computer are different, right? So how does the hardware and the software interact? By an interface, right? And what is the interface? It's an operating system, right? But the operating system is nothing but a software, but a specific software in which it helps the different applied softwares to interact with each other and also with the hardware, right? So the interface between matter and spirit is none other than the Paramatma Tattva. Right? It helps the matter and spirit to interact and also the different spirits to interact. And also is the cause of them. Just like electricity, right, is cause of the laptop in the sense of it being manufactured in form of heat. And at the same time is cause also of the software. Because it's basically nothing, a binary code of 0 and 1, which is electricity on and off, you know. So you have the same Paramatma Tattva as electricity and also, I mean, the same interface as electricity and also the same interface as operating system. Right? Similarly, the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, the Karanadakshay Vishnu and the Shirodakshay Vishnu are the same tattvas manifested in different forms. Right? Just like electricity manifest as the operating system also. But it is specific. So the Paramatma Tattva as general has been glorified before, and now the Paramatma Tattva in specific is going to be glorified. So if you try to understand this, and Prabhupada is saying, you know, that basically if you try to understand these specifics, then you can appreciate as one would appreciate the Rasa Leela. And he is not being off the mark. Because if you read Prabhupada's purport, he is so amazing. And he is so specific. You can really relish. And it's so much to actually research about. Right? Research in the sense of presenting in a more appropriate way to a larger audience. It's already there. Only that it has to be presented in a way that can be relished and more appreciated by a larger audience. So, now if you see this aspect, Prabhupada interestingly says, and I think it's there in this report, and he's saying, so it's very obvious from the verse that the verse is actually talking of Lord Brahma coming out from the navel. So it definitely refers to Kapodakshaya Vishnu, right? Who resides as Anant Padmanabh. And Prabhupada is actually saying here that in this shloka, the subject matter of Mahavishnu is summarized. It's like, oh my God, this is a contradiction. But this has to be really understood in what sense, you know. And I was referring to the purports of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur from the Brahma Samhita. And interestingly, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur takes the same line of thought. So, in the 48th verse of the Brahma Samhita, which is, Yasaika Nivstakal Mathavalambya, Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata. So this is referring to Mahavishnu. And he translates, Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds appearing from the pose of hair of Mahavishnu. Right? Remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the later Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda whose subject personality, Mahavishnu is the portion of the portion. Very interesting. He's taking the same line of thought. And of course, the preceding verse is actually glorifying Ramanacharya or Ananta Shesh in that sense, the 47th verse, which is actually Yaha Karana Vajale Bhajati Sma Yoga. So there he says, I adore the primal Lord Govinda who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesh, replete with the all accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean, with the infinity of the world in the pose of his hairs, enjoys Yoga Nidra, the creative sleep. And this is what the verse is saying actually. You know, it says, a part of Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts the lotus stem. And from the lotus flower atop the stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. So Prabhupada does not translate Yoga Nidra in the translation. But the verse, Yog Nidram, is there, sleeping and meditation. Right? That's the creative thing. And this is specifically used for Karnadakshaya Vishnu. But then, and that's why Prabhupada is saying Mahavishnu. Actually the verse is summarizing Mahavishnu. But it's not difficult to understand, because finally Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is coming from Mahavishnu. Because then Prabhupada also uses the liberty of saying that all the Leela avatars actually manifest from Shirodakshini Vishnu. But if you specifically see the verses, he actually manifests, all these avatars manifest from Garbhadakshini Vishnu. But then because Shirodakshini Vishnu is manifesting from Garbhadakshini Vishnu, it's not entirely wrong. And in that sense, if you see, the first verse is actually defining the specifics of the function of the energy of Mahavishnu, where it says that first, the Prakriti manifests from Mahavishnu as Pradhan. And when it's glanced by Mahavishnu, the glance which includes, as Prem Kishore Babu was saying yesterday, the Kal and the Subhav, the Jeev and the Karma, it is energized, it's electrified. At the same time, the universes are manifesting from his pores. Very surprising. So the Mahatattva is outside, and the universe is coming from his pores. So what exactly is coming out? Because the Garbhadakshi Vishnu is still not manifested. So in one sense, there is nothing in the universe. So what is coming? And very interesting how Prabhupada analyzes this. Sorry, because I had to recompile at the last moment of what I was reading. So I do not know where I've actually put it. But in one of the verses of the second chapter, Prabhupada actually says, we get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord himself first entered the vacuum of the material universe. So what basically he's saying is that what Mahavishnu is doing is first impregnating the time factor and then the space factor. So even for the physicists, what really constitutes is space and time continuum. That's what actually is the function of Karna Dakshya Vishnu. Then the specifics of the space are actually energized by Garbhadakshi Vishnu. That is one way you can understand. Many ways you can understand. And of course, when you read Prabhupada's purports, sometimes it seems that probably, Prabhupada is just making general statements, but he's being very, very specific. And I was thinking of taking some examples related to this itself in the terms of philosophy. But because he's also mentioning this facts and figures, that is what really caught my eyes. And, I'm specifically working on the fifth canto, and it's again relating to the planetary systems. So the first verses in the seventh, the tenth, the twelfth, and the 19th verse of the 21st chapter of the fifth canto actually help you derive that how the measurements have been made at 23.5 degree latitudes or 24 degrees latitude. That's what is where the drop of a cancer lies, and specifically the prime meridian at Ujjain passes. But one of the questions, when I was having dialogue with the rest of the scholars, and they were like, okay, probably it can be a fluke, what your calculations are. And I was like, well, not an entirely absurd argument. Because if Shukdev Goswami is making something very clear in terms of facts and figures, he will definitely repeat it. Because that's the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is repeated in a general form, in a specific form, and again re-repeated to re-stress the point. And it took me like when I started working in 2013 or 14, it was like in about 8 months that I was able to come with these calculations. And for 7 years I was thinking, it has to be repeated somewhere. It has to be repeated somewhere. And I never got it. And interestingly, just the verse preceding it is the sixth verse, which is a very general verse. The verse says that when the sun moves from the summer equinox to the summer solstice, that's about three months, every month the daytime increases by half an hour, which means the nighttime decreases equally by half an hour. The word specifically used there is ghatika. And Prabhupada in his word-to-word translation. Now, that's how Prabhupada is, If you see his word-to-word translation, he's scholastic. If you see his translation and purport, he actually modifies according to outreach, Like if you see in the verse where he says, Brahma knows the world just as anyone would know when he grasps Amalaki in his palm. So Prabhupada in his translation translates as a walnut. Because he knows that, in first glance, no one is going to go word-to-word. But if you see the word-to-word, he translates Amalaki as the Indian gooseberry, as Amla. So Prabhupada is at the board, at the same time being scholastic, at the same time knowing the limitations of his audience, does not compromise on his outreach. So many times, if you see his translation, he gives the implication itself. So if you see the fifth aspect the potent aspects of devotional service in NOD, it says, relishing Srimad Bhagavatam in, that's the actual translation. Relishing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Prabhupada just says, translates Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Because it's implied. Actually, because if you see word-to-word translation, it says relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's all, if you see the word-to-word translation. But Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Which is implied that you can relish Bhagavatam only in the association of devotees. So Prabhupada does not compromise in the philosophy, in the outreach, at the same time in the scholarship. So that's his genius. So in this verse, Prabhupada translates Ghatika as 30 minutes, half an hour. Just three or four verses later, the same word comes, Ghatika. And Prabhupada writes there, half an hour, in the word-to-word translation. And then in the brackets, puts it as, actually 24 minutes. And I was like, what? When you are making facts and figures, you can't just do like that. So you refer to the 11th chapter of the third canto. And there again the word Ghatika comes. And there it is used in liaison with the word, with the concept of the Ghatika Yantra. So the Ghatika Yantra is used to measure time. Now interestingly, Prabhupada translates Ghatika there as half an hour. And he equates Ghatika as Danda, which is half an hour. And Murata is two times Danda or Ghatika, which implies that Murata is 1 hour. But in the one-to-one, in the word-to-word translation, Prabhupada says Murata is 48 minutes. Now when he combines the table, very interesting. Prabhupada does not include the Ghatika and the Murata in the tables. And this is the 14th verse of the 11th chapter, I think. But he does not include Danda and the Murata. He just includes the other time factors starting from Tritiya and ending with the year, the Samvatsara. Why is Prabhupada doing that? You know, I mean, he's definitely not being whimsical. Because a person who's translating Ghatika is half an hour, just three or four verses before, and again he's saying yes, 24 minutes, definitely has something on mind. Maybe unconscious incompetence, or maybe conscious competence, I'm no one to say. But definitely, as Shukdev Goswami is saying, he's being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. And Prabhupada was very specific about that. He said, no, not even Paramatma. Krishna. So definitely his words, you cannot take it lightly, you know. And if you see it very specifically, now I just made some calculations. If you take it half an hour, it comes to about 22 degrees. If you take sunrise and sunset times, as is given in the modern calculations, sunrise and sunset. Now, I went to the Vedic almanac to understand what sunrise and sunset is. So in the Vedic almanac, there are two ways. One is the astronomical way and one is the civil way or the conventional way. And when I looked at that, it really made so much sense. Because in the astronomical way, it is the same as is done by the modern scientists today. As soon as the upper limb of the sun is seen, that is considered as sunrise. And sunset is as soon as the last limb of the sun sets. But if you see the conventional way, then it is taken from the mid limb. So the sunrise is taken when the sun is half risen. That is conventional way of calculating sunrise. And sunset is equal. So definitely the sunrise and sunset times makes the day a slightly shorter if you take it from the mid limb. So if you do the calculations like this, then it comes 24 degrees. I said, wow, this is really amazing. It has to be specific. But the problem is with the Ghatika. So is Ghatika half an hour or is Ghatika 24 minutes? Of course, the physical way to verify is because the Ghatika, the construction of the Ghatika Yantra is given. So if you construct it accordingly, you can directly verify. I've requested some people. I'm looking for some people who can do it. It's not very difficult to do. So let's see. But analytically, if you see, conventionally, the Ghatika is taken as half an hour. So conventionally, if you take Ghatika as half an hour, and conventionally, if you take the sunrise and sunset time, it comes as 24 degrees latitude. But if you take astronomical sunrise and sunset, it does not match because it comes as 22 degrees. And if you take astronomical Ghatika, that is 24 minutes. Because when Prabhupada is using it in the later verses as 24 minutes, actually he's, directly referring to the motion of the sun as calculated astronomically. So then it makes sense. You take Ghatika 24 minutes astronomically, then it will not come to a 24 degrees, it will in fact come to 18 degrees north latitude. But if you take it conventionally, taking the conventional sunrise and sunset times, then it comes to 24 degrees north latitude. So then yes, it is generically mentioned in the 6th verse, and immediately in the next verse, in the 7th, it specifically mentions the calculations that have to be carried out for making it 24 degrees north latitude. So the point that Shukdev Goswami, what Prabhupada is making, it is not a metaphysical theory of philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject. So yes, even this aspect, of the Sankhya Yoga is very specific. Now, if you actually try to analyze in the different sampradayas, they differ. And this is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually comes in and actually reconciles it in the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, saying how the energies of the Lord, Madhvacharya says it's separate. Ramanacharya says it's qualified oneness, qualifying it with the attributes of the Brahma. He says, no. And Mahaprabhu is saying, no. It is the potency of the Lord. And therefore, it is one and different from the Lord. So, of course, there are many more details and I really wanted to take that. But I'm already over. So the point is that if you try to understand this specifically, because many of the even in the Vaishnava circles, even in the devotees, they feel that, well, probably what Shukdev Goswami is saying is specifically meant for a yogic vision. Well, it may be meant, but that does not disqualify it to be meant for the human beings in general. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically spoken for the Kali Yuga Jivas. Alright? Just like someone may argue that the second verse says it's a Paramahansa Samhita. So it is basically meant for the Paramahansas. Yes, it is meant for the Paramahansas, and it is also meant for the general populace to become a Paramahansa. That is the implied meaning, both ways. Ayurveda Krichena. It's immediately, within no time, the Lord actually manifests. The same pastime actually takes place in Vrindavan also. And when Srimati Radharani, and this is I think where Prabhupada actually is, where this pastime of, and I'll get over with this. This is the end. So, where actually Srila Prabhupada, is observed by Bhakti Siddhanta Resh Thakur and says, he likes to hear. It's actually at this place of Shesh Shai Vishnu, where Anand Shesh is there and the Lord is riding as Kapodak Shai Vishnu. The pastime is that Srimati Radharani actually is passing through that forest and hears some Brahmins actually making this Garbhastuti. Where the Purushukta basically, where Garbhadakshayi Vishnu is being glorified. And in her heart, she just has the desire, if I have darshan of the Lord in this form, and Krishna immediately, takes the form of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and lies in the pond out there, which is like the Karan ocean. And immediately Srimati Radharani takes the form of Mahalakshmi and starts serving Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. And all the gopis looking at there are really stunned at looking at this pastime happen. And it is this place that, when Bhaktisiddhanta Rai Thakur says that, anyone who wants to have darshan of Shesh Shai Vishnu can go. Anyone who wants to hear can actually stay. And Prabhupada actually chooses to stay. And here, he is actually glorifying this process of hearing. So one may say, and of course there are many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam that, because depending upon the intensity of a speaker, the Paramatma residing in the heart actually inspires the Atma or the Jiva to take up to the process of devotional service in all earnest. But Prabhupada and Vishwacharya Thakur actually give a different purport to this. It says because when anyone hears Krishna Katha, the Lord actually descends in his heart. How he descends in his heart? And why should he descend? Because Krishna is already as this Paramatma. So why he has to descend in the heart of the Jiva? So there he actually qualifies this by saying that he descends because the Paramatma is Upadrishta Anumanta. But Krishna descends means he actually descends with his feature that actually disqualifies or actually qualifies him separate from the Paramatma as Bhakta Vatsal. He actually enters as Krishna, as Bhakta Vatsal, and starts personally cleansing the heart of the devotee. You know? So that is how he qualifies. So what actually, when you are hearing from the Vaishnavas is entering, is the fragrance of the faith that they carry enters into heart of the devotee. That's why you're supposed to hear from devotees who are following the process. So many times, you know, we may also hear from the Madhvas and from the Ramacharyas, that can be done to you know, clarify certain points. But then we should not forget that the seed is actually of Raghavendra Bhakti. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. So even though we practice Vaidhi Bhakti, and the Acharya says, Acharya qualifies this, actually it is not Vaidhi in the strict sense as the Ramanuja and the Madhva Sampradaya say. So that is, one is Jata Raghavendra, and Vaidhi Bhakti is Ajata Raghunuga. So traditionally, what the Gaudiya Sampradaya is, or what the Gaudiya Sampradaya propagates, is Raghunuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti is only in form. In substance, it is Raghunuga Bhakti. Even if you see what Prabhupada has given us, right from the day that we have darshan, is only Raghunuga Bhakti. Because if you see the Sansara Dal prayers, Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastri, is where the Acharya is considered non-different from Hari. That is the Vaidhi understanding. Right? But the Raghunagada understanding is already given. Nikunjayono Pratikeri Siddhi. That is the Raghunagada understanding, where the Acharya is a very intimate associate of Radha and Krishna in their Leela. Similarly, when we sing Tulsi Artiya, it's all, the Abhilash is all, nothing but Raghunagada Abhilash. So, in fact, every aspect is Raghunuga Bhakti. It's Vaidhi only in form. Right? And it can be qualified in ways. But the point here is, that is why it's important to hear from the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to actually cling to what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And that is nothing but Raghunuga Bhakti. Thank you very much. Sorry, I've continued too much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Bahut pranam.